Yeah. Open up your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And if you are new here this morning, welcome to the Mission Church. So glad that you're here. We built this church for you. This is a place where you are safe, where you will feel the love of Jesus and have a life-changing experience. I was really moved by Corey's words when he said, hey, I really didn't have a father. I really didn't have a male role model in my life, and Jesus came and has been that father to me, has been the one who, and you know what, I can really relate to that because I grew up in a single mom's house. I didn't have a father in my life, and I remember coming to Christ, and it was in this very book that we're in right now. Corey's words really spoke to me this morning. I remember reading the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 this morning. And I remember reading the book of Ecclesiastes, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is the father that I never had. So much wisdom being poured out. Why? Oh, I wish I knew these things earlier. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's called Wisdom Literature. There is so much insight. There is so much wisdom. And here's why. Because God wants you to live a glorious life. Today we are in part two of a message titled Living Life in Its Glory. God wants you to have an amazing life. He wants you to live a life full of His glory, His wisdom, His power, His presence being manifest in your life so tangibly that the world would look on your life and say, the only thing that makes sense, the only reason I can figure out why they are so blessed is they have God in their life. God wants to use your life in such a powerful way that you are a witness to the whole world. Jesus said this way. He said, hey, I want to bless your life. I want to make you have an amazing life full of purpose, full of reason, full of gifting and talents that I pour upon you. And here's why I want to do it. That your light would so shine among men that they would see your good works and they would say, wow, God is amazing. That is the calling that God has on your life. That is the purpose that God has on your life. It is a significant purpose to be used by God, to have a life walking in fellowship with God, a life full of glory. At every turn, you have God leading, guiding, and directing you so that you can have a life that just reveals how great your God is. And unfortunately, many are in the world and they're looking for significance. They're looking for purpose. I typed on my Google browser this week, why am I here? And it brought up several blogs of people just despairing. And I was grieved by the despairing lives that are just hurting and people talking about cutting themselves and giving themselves over to various vices and the destruction that comes out of it. And here's why, because they have been duped, they have been deceived, they don't understand the good plan that God has for them. And yet I find that not only is it the unbeliever who is despairing, I have found that even Christians are prone to lose sight, to be deceived, to forget about this upward call of Christ Jesus. We had a leaders meeting this morning and Don took us in a passage in Philippians and the Apostle Paul says these words, I press on to obtain the upward call of Jesus Christ. Not that I have already obtained, but one thing I do, I continue moving forward towards that call. And I thought, man, that's incredible. The Apostle Paul can say, I haven't obtained all that Christ has called me for. It must be a significant, mighty, deep and wide calling that he has. Because the Apostle Paul, boy, he saw incredible things. Caught up to a third heaven, saw things that you and I would love to see. Oh, and Paul says, no, I still haven't even attained all that Christ has called me for. Think for a moment how glorious the plan that God has for you. Think for a moment all that God had planned when He created you. And may we just consider and dream for a second that we might begin to walk and to begin to pursue to know all that Jesus created us for. How incredible. How exciting. And I tell you, if you are going through life as a Christian, and you're saying, yeah, well, I believe in Jesus, but I go to church and I come home and I live my week and I'm waiting, you know, one day I'm going to die and go to heaven. If that's the extent of your walk with the Lord, if you have forgotten, oh, I would just invite you to consider this morning. We talked about last week, hey, it's a brand new year. A time to realign. A time to check our trajectory. Are we on the right course? We talked about kids in elementary school and when they're playing Foursquare and they make a mistake, what do they ask for? A do-over. And God loves do-overs. I love the simplicity of a child's heart in that. Hey, let's do a do-over. Let's get back on the right track. And here's what I love about God. It's never too late to take a right step. Your sin hasn't thwarted God's plan. Your forgetfulness or not going after, if you're not on track with Him this morning, and so you say, hey man, I'm 48 now, or I'm 53 now, or I'm 35 now, or I'm 18 now, whatever it is. Hey, it's not too late to take a good step towards what God has for you. And when you do, here's what we find. God says, hey, I've been waiting for you. He's with outstretched arm. He is quick to forgive. What an amazing Savior we have, and He wants to walk with us. I have a verse for you that I'd like to start the message with this morning. It's Proverbs 24. It's on your screens. And I'd like to hear you read this all together in unison in a thundering voice. Will you do that for me? So if you didn't sing during worship, I want you to sing now, man. I want you to really belt this out in a thundering voice. As a matter of fact, stand with me and let me hear you really proclaim this verse. Are you ready? I'm going to start us and then I'm going to be quiet. I want it to be so loud that even on the recording, people can hear your voice. All right? Here we go. Through wisdom, oh, that does my heart good to hear you read God's word like that. You can be seated. Way to go. What an awesome verse. Through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it's established. Interesting. Interesting. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Here's the question. What house are we talking about? The house on Neptune Street? No, 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 not that house. What house are we talking about? Your life. Your life. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying, he's saying, hey, through wisdom, your life is built. And by understanding, it will be established. And your life, like a house, will be filled with incredibly good things, attractive things, things that are substantial. By wisdom. Notice what it doesn't say. By hard work, a house is built. Although it does take hard work, that's not how it's done. Or by skill, a house is... No, it's not what it says. Or by force... No, that's not what it says. Or by experience. No, that's not what it says. What does it say? By wisdom and by understanding, a house is built. And today, we are going to look at some wisdom literature in Ecclesiastes 11 that will begin to pour wisdom into our life. And like I said, I remember being a young man, 24 years of age, getting saved, reading the book of Ecclesiastes for the first time and going, oh my gosh, You are the Father I never had. Such wisdom being poured into me. I've been living for wrong things. I had wrong goals. And it was the book of Ecclesiastes that began to open my mind to that truth. Let's jump in, if we will. I'm going to read the same chapter we read last week, part two of a message, Living Life in Its Glory. Let's let the wisdom of God's Word drip upon us. Verse 1, follow along with me. Cast your bread. Your bread, yeah, we talked last week. Those are your giftings, your resources, your time, your talent, your treasures. Cast the things God has given you. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, will not plant. He who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. So in the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand. Go to work. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or rather both alike will be good. Truly light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. This morning we were praying in a circle out there, the sun beating down on my back, warming me, and I just thought, oh man, that is sweet. Verse 8, but if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Lord, we come before you. We ask for your blessing this morning. Tons of wisdom here in the chapter we just read. And Lord, we know that unless your Spirit opens our eyes, we are not able to see. Unless your Spirit opens our ears, we're not able to hear. And so, Lord, as a good father, feed your children this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we saw the first instruction that he gives us is cast your bread on the waters. And we looked at that, and by way of quick review, not going to spend a lot of time on this, but just a way of quick review, we saw that God wants us to take initiative with the giftings he gives us. Our giftings, the bread that he's asking us to cast on the waters, can be wrapped up in three T's: time, talents, and treasures. Those are your bread. Those are the things God has given you. You have been gifted by God in unique ways. You have skills that others don't have. You have things that come to you easily that others don't have come to you easily. You have other areas of weakness where you're not so good. Yeah, I understand that. But you also have incredible gifting that God has given you. And here's what God is saying. Take what I've given you and take some risks. Take initiative with what I've given you. Take initiative and get it out. Invest it. Use it. God wants us to use the things that he's given us to build a great life. God wants to use, wants us to take the things that he has given us to use a great life. Here's a question I have for you. How does God want to make your life glorious? What method does God want to use to give you a glorious life? By what method does Jesus give Christians a glorious life? By lightning bolt? Is that how he does it? Ba-boom! There you go. Glorious life. Does he hit you on the forehead and you fall over backwards and then when you get up, everything's fixed? Oh, there's some wacko churches that teach crazy things like that. What method does Jesus want to give you a glorious life? By lightning bolt or by leading? I want an answer. By leading. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the sheep, they hear my voice, and they know my voice, and they follow me. Jesus wants to lead us into a glorious life. He doesn't want to zap us into a glorious life. I know we would like that. Hey, I'm going to kind of just, if I do this, zap, everything will be fit. No, that's fantasy faith. He wants to lead us into a glorious life. Take on my ways and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here in Ecclesiastes, we have God leading us. And here's what he says, I want you to take the gifts that I've given you and I want you to invest them. I want you to put them out on the waters. I want you to take risks. Here's what's happened. I will bless it, and in time, it will come back to you, and you will receive an abundance. You will receive more. I will expand your borders. I will fill your house with pleasant things. You are going to have a great life, but it requires that you take some risks. Don't play it safe all the time. In your career, are you investing what God's given you? In your relationships, are you taking risk? Are you pouring into others? Or are you just playing it super safe? In your finances, are you a good steward? Or are you just a consumer? In your ministry, are you stepping out in faith? And we looked at all these things last week. Scatter your resources. Use your time, your treasures, your talents. Take risks. Make investments. Pour into others, and in time it'll come back to you, pressed down, overflowing with good increase. So that was the first thing that we looked at last week. Take initiative. Take risks. It's important that we understand. The second thing we're going to look into this week that we start anew, not only does God want us to take risk, not only does he want us to take initiative, but he wants us to then to know, don't wait for perfect conditions. Look what he says here in verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. What's he saying right there? Here's what he's saying. Don't wait for perfect conditions on everything before you take the risk. Well, it's kind of windy today. I don't think I'm going to scatter the seed today. I don't think I'm going to go plant the seed today. It's windy. I don't want the seed to get blown away. I'm going to play it really safe. I'm not going to plant seed today. What's going to happen? It'll be something else tomorrow. It'll be something else the next day, and you will never plant the seed God's given you to plant. Don't wait for perfect conditions. Beware of procrastination. Beware of being overly cautious. Hey, it's going to require faith. And sometimes you just have to get out there and do it. Beware of being overly cautious. Oh, well, I'll buy a house when the market... Be careful. I'll invest when the Dow goes to... When the Dow hits this, then I'll... Hey, be careful. I'll take a vacation when we finally... Be careful. You may never take a vacation. And you'll find that the kids have grown and you never had that time together and that season has left you. Beware of being overly cautious, waiting for perfect conditions. It's a mistake. We'll all fall in love after I build my career. Hey, be careful. Don't wait for perfect conditions. I'll tell others about Jesus after I learn more about the Bible. It's a mistake to wait for perfect conditions. I remember Lisa and I once went to Disneyland, and we woke up in the morning, and it was raining. And we got up early, excited about our trip, and we looked at each other, and we go, oh, bummer, it's raining. Should we? Shouldn't we? Don't want to go spend all that money. and we wasn't perfect conditions, just wasn't perfect conditions. And we said, oh, what the heck, we're going anyway. And so we went. We went to Disneyland. You know what? It was the best Disneyland trip we ever had. The lines were short. We walked around. We bought those little coveralls that they sell, you know, with you look ridiculous. You got Donald Duck on your back or whatever, you know. But you know what? It was the best Disneyland trip we ever had. I still remember that. And that was how long ago? A long time is all we're getting. A long time. My wife is so much wiser than me. A long time ago, yeah. Don't wait for perfect conditions. Sometimes you'll be surprised. Let God lead. And don't wait until you have everything figured out yourself. If we wait for the perfect time, the real danger is it will never happen. You know what the procrastinator says? Oh, well, soon we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that soon. Well, as soon as we get this, we'll do it. Well, as soon as this happens, we'll do it. And you know what happens? It never happens. Another verse for you on your screens, Proverbs 24:3. Let me hear you read this out loud. The sluggard, yeah, that's the procrastinator. He claims, there's a lion in the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. Hey, I'm going to go to work, but oh, I think there might be a lion in the road. Better not go today. That's too dangerous. I'm going to play it safe, and I'm going to wait. Tomorrow I'll go to work. Yeah, that doesn't go over real well. There's a lion in the road. Yeah, there's always problems. There's always risks. There's always beware of procrastinating too much. And I tell you, as Christians, I want you to know this. You might even want to write this down. Procrastination suffocates motivation. Beware of it. Beware of it. Procrastination suffocates motivation. Got a Mark Twain quote for you on your screens. Read this with me. The secret of getting ahead is what? Yeah. Let's do it again because nobody got started. Are you with me? The secret of getting ahead is getting started. Those are wise words. Mark Twain had a lot of wise quotes. I like reading his quotes. The secret of getting ahead is getting started. Hey, taking that first step of faith is often hard. Often hard. And here's what Solomon is telling us. He's saying, hey, be careful, because he who observes the wind, yeah, he just won't plant. He just won't do it. Look what he says in verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand. He's talking about don't quit working. In the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, don't withhold your hand from other work. Go out and tend the flocks work on, you know, your sowing or whatever it is you do. And he says, for you do not know which one will prosper, either this or that, or whether both things will be really good. Here's what he's saying, though. Don't wait. In the morning, get up and go for it. And in the evening, put your hand to it. Don't say, well, I already sowed the seed this morning. No, in the evening, hey, there's other things to be done. Go for it. And so we have to be careful. We don't want to wait for perfect conditions. Here's what he's telling us. Take what you have now and use it for the glory of God. I think of examples of this in the Bible. The widow's mite. The widow only has a quarter. And she takes that quarter and she takes it out of her purse and she says, oh, I don't have anything to offer. This isn't good enough. People are putting in like $5,000 in the offering bucket. People are putting in big amounts in there. This quarter is absolutely nothing. I'll wait until I have something more substantial. I'll wait till I'm more equipped. Is that what the widow's might? Is that what the widow did? No, what did she do? She took what she had and she used it for the glory of God. And here's what Jesus said. She put it in there and Jesus said, hey, stop everything. Stop the church service. Do you see these guys over here? Oh, they gave a lot of money. Everybody applauded. They got a plaque on the wall. This building was donated by Bob. But that woman right there, she took what she had. She gave out of her small little pocket, and she gave everything. And Jesus said, I'm going to use that as a memorial for my church throughout all time. Wow. You see, God can take the small things that we have, as inept as we are, as flawed as we are, as foolish as we are, and He can say, hey, if you will take a risk with that, if you'll use that for my glory, I'll do big things with it. I think of the woman at the well. And Jesus comes to her and He says, oh, woman, if you knew the gift of God and you knew who was standing here with you, you would ask Him and He would give you living water, overflowing, abundant life. And the woman, not understanding that Jesus was speaking of Himself, that He was God, that He was there to give her eternal life, that He was there to give her the Holy Spirit, that He was there to give her reason and purpose for life and to equip her to live an amazing life to the glory of God, living water overflowing so that all can come and drink. She didn't understand any of it. And they have this banter back and forth. But a moment comes and she finally understands. And guess what that woman, guess what she does? She had been married to 5 men. Think of that. Married 5 times. The man she was with now, she'd given up on marriage. Now she's just sleeping around and they're shacking up together. And Jesus says, that's all okay with me. That won't keep you from coming to me. That won't keep you from entering into a relationship with me. Here's what I know. The moment you enter into a relationship with me, all that will change in your life. Just come to me, just as you are. And she comes to Him just as she is, and she receives. And sure enough, just like Jesus said, her life changes. She's, oh my gosh, I've never been loved this way. And here's what she does. The moment she leaves Jesus, what does she do? She goes into her town. She knows nothing at all. And here's what she says. Come and meet a man who knew everything about me. That's all she knew about Jesus. He was amazing. Come and meet this amazing guy. And God uses that little bit that she has and begins to grow and build her. This is God's way. This is how He works. I think of Rahab. She does the same thing. She knows nothing. She just has enough to use what she has. She says, hey, I'll hide you in my house. That's all I have. That's all I got. But I'll use it. I'll use it for the glory of God. There's a story in the Bible of a priest, a pastor, and a prostitute. A pastor and a prostitute. Not together. But the pastor invites Jesus over to his house. And his method, his reason, well, I want to learn more before I make a decision. I want more information. I want more knowledge. I got to have more, more, more before I make a decision. And there he has Jesus into his house and he begins to serve him a meal and he's kind of testing Jesus. And as he's sitting there deciding who this guy is, a prostitute comes up. And she just falls on her knees and starts kissing Jesus' feet and washing His feet with her tears. And she pours this bottle of perfume on Jesus' feet. That's all that she had. What was that perfume going to be used for before she met Jesus? For prostitution? And now she takes what she has. It's all that she has. And Jesus says, do you see this woman? From the moment I came in, she started loving me. She used what she had. She washed my feet with her tears. You didn't even offer to wash my feet, Pastor. She fell before me and she used this perfume. You didn't even kiss my cheek when I walked in. Hey, what do you have? She only had what she had as a prostitute. What do you have? Well, I don't have much. Oh, you have a lot. Because when you take what you have and you say, Lord, I want to use it for you, God says, I will do incredible things with it. And it's there that the journey begins. We're going to have to take some risk. Secondly, we're going to have to wait for where we don't want to wait for perfect conditions. We want to take what God's given us now and start using it. Using it for the glory of God. I tell you what, if we wait until we understand every fact about something before we step out in faith, we will never do anything. There are always going to be things that we don't understand. There will always be unknown variables. There will always be unspecified risks. There will always be mystery. We will never understand everything. Look what he says here in verse 5. This is awesome. Let's go back to verse 4. He who observes the wind will not say, oh, it's windy today, can't do it today. Maybe tomorrow we can plant. Look at verse 5. Look what he says. Listen, you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. So in the morning, just go sow your seed. Be faithful with what you do understand. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand from work. Yeah, maybe you're a young couple and you want to have a baby. You're married, young couple, and you want to have a baby. And you say, well, I don't know. How are hard bones formed in a soft womb? That's pretty incredible, isn't it? How are hard bones formed in a soft womb? I have no idea. That's amazing. Well, what if the bones don't form right? What if this doesn't work right? What if this doesn't work right? I don't know. Maybe we should wait. Here's what God's saying. Hey, you know enough to know how to make a baby. Take that and use it and let me do the rest. That's good news. Hey, you know enough to take a step. Take that step. Use what I've given you. And here's what will happen. I will bless it. Some of you are hesitant in your faith. You are hesitant in committing to Jesus Christ because I still got questions. I don't understand everything. Yeah, I believe. Yeah, there probably is a God. But if there is a God, how come there's suffering in the world? How come in Syria this week there's people suffering? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. But how come the children still, how come the, and what about evolution? And what about this? And what about, I want to know, hey, you will never understand everything. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. There will always be unknowns. There will always be variables. Take a step of faith and say, hey, I am willing to believe. I look at this world and it is too complex. It is too amazing. It is too glorious to just say it happened by itself. I look up into the stars. I consider all the heavens that you've created. I look at the universe and how you've made it where we can explore it. You've given me a mind to fathom things. I'm even fathoming, God, are you real or not? You've given me a conscience that convicts me. There is enough evidence to say, hey, there are good reasons to step out in faith. Now step out in faith. I don't know how the bones are formed in a soft womb, but I do know how to make a baby. Make one. And the same is true. That's just a picture of what he's trying to tell us about life. Take some risks. Take initiative. Don't wait for perfect conditions. Go out and step out. Isaiah 55 says, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, just as the stars are higher than the earth, just as the sun is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. You're going to have to trust me. But here's what happens. When we take what God has given us and we step out in faith, he blesses it incredibly. Jesus told this story several different ways, the parable of the minas. And one, some of the Gospels, there's the parable of the talents. It's a little different in the parable of the minas. In the parable of the minas, he says, hey, the kingdom of heaven is like a king, that would be Jesus, going on a far journey. And before he takes his journey, he goes to his servants and he gives each one, he takes 10 servants and he gives each one a mina, $1,000. And he says, invest this till I come. And one of the guys takes the mina and he turns it into $5,000. Another guy takes it and he turns it into $2,000. Another guy takes it and hides it. And you know the story. The Jesus comes back. He tells the story. The king comes back and he comes to his servants. He says, hey, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, I took the mina you gave me and I invested it. I cast it out on the waters. I took some risks. Not everything was perfect, but I took some risks. And here it is. I've got five now. And Jesus said these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Wow. There we see the precepts of the kingdom. There we see the principles of how God works. Take what I've given you and use it. And if you do, I will give you more and more and more. The story goes on. The guy who got one, what did he do with his? He buried it. Why did he bury it? Because he was afraid of losing it. Conditions weren't perfect. I'm not quite sure. I don't want to lose it. And Jesus said, are you kidding me? You would think that the king in the story is a picture of God, a picture of Jesus. You would think the king would say, that's okay. Here, let me pat you on the back. You didn't do anything? No, it's all right. I love you anyway. You're so good. Just don't worry about it. I never get mad. Is that what he said? He didn't say that. What did he say? He said, you lazy, first word, you lazy and wicked servant. Wow. Wow. You don't have in mind the things of God. You're just worried about... Take initiative. Use the gifts God's given you. Take some risks. Scatter it out on the waters. Don't wait for perfect conditions because God is a faithful God and He will give you increase. It's who He is. We need to move on, but I hope that sticks in. I know we are safety nuts by nature. Oh, I don't want to risk it. And God, here's the problem. You can't live a glorious life that way. And God wants you to have a glorious life. Take some risk. There's not a millionaire on the earth who did not take a lot of risks. It never happens unless he inherited the money. I'm talking about first money. There's not a millionaire on the earth who made first money who didn't take a lot of risks, who didn't lose money along the way. It just happens. Look at the next things he tells us. The third thing he tells us is to diversify. To diversify. In other words, scatter your gifts and your talents abroad. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Look at verse 2. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you don't know what evil will be on the earth. Or in other words, you don't know what misfortune might happen. After he tells us to cast our bread out on the waters, here's the next thing he says. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Put your bread out there and put it to seven or to eight different spots because you don't know what's going to happen. A lot of different things might happen. Here's the truth of it. Not every investment wins. And a wise investor knows to diversify his investments. How many disciples did Jesus have? Not just one. One disciple is all I need. I never make a mistake. I never fail. No. He's teaching us how to do things. How many disciples did Jesus have, church? He had 12. He had 12, and actually had more than that. But he had 12 that he called apostles, the sent ones, and he had many beyond that. He invested into a lot of people. And even though one disciple failed, hey, no problem, because 11 did really good. And that's what he's telling us here in verse 7, diversify. Develop several others. Invest in a lot of people. Pour into a lot of people. Give the gifts that God has given you and pour it into others. Hey, maybe you are incredibly intelligent. Well, take the gifts God's given you and share that knowledge with several other people. Maybe you have a lot of wealth. Hey, take that wealth and take it and pour it into a lot of different things so that a lot of different things can be blessed from it. Maybe you are a man who has a position of power and you have a lot of opportunities where you can raise people up. Hey, take that and use it in a lot of different ways. Diversify. Pour into others. Believe in others. See the best in others. Look at people who have gifts and talents and say, you know what? I see something in you and I want to invest in what God's doing in your life. And here's the cool thing. If one investment fails you, five others will succeed. I was looking at a strawberry the other day. Got a picture of a strawberry for you. When you look at that strawberry, take a close look at the skin of that strawberry. What do you see? Seeds. You know what you don't see? One seed. You know what you do see? 200 seeds on a strawberry. 200 seeds on a strawberry. Why? Why? Because not every seed is going to produce a strawberry. God is diversified. He's doing the very same thing he tells us to do. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day, they're speaking knowledge. Day into day, they're communicating truth. Here's a paraphrase of that. The universe shows God's ways. Learn. And a strawberry has 200 seeds on it. Here's why, because not every seed is going to produce fruit, but one of those seeds will. I have a palm tree in my backyard. Each boy has a different, when they were growing up, had a different assignment. It was Jordan's job to do what? Yeah, boy, it was a date palm, and it produced not one seed, I wish just one seed, but like 5 kajillion seeds. And they would drop, and those things, I mean, it's like 150 pounds, these seed pods. They're heavy. You chop it down, it's like a human falling. Oh, pfft. But here's what I saw. Those seeds would be scattered all across my backyard. I've got a pretty big backyard. They were everywhere. I don't know how they got all the way over by the trash cans, but I'd see them over there. And here's why. God doesn't just make one seed. He makes multiple seeds, and he diversifies. And he says, now listen, learn my ways. This is how I work. Not every investment wins. Diversify. Pour out. And put others, put into... Here's what I know about us. If we fail one time, what happens to us? Oh, I've been wounded. I tried love. I'm never going to love again. I've been hurt. And God says, hey, don't go that route. Don't go that route. You tried love? Yes. It didn't work out? No. Try again. Try again. You tried being a good friend? All that friendship didn't work out like you thought it would? Hey, that's okay. Diversify. Put a serving out there for 7, for 8. If one fails, hey, you don't know what evil, what misfortune may happen. Yeah, one might, but the other 7, oh, they'll be good, and they'll bring a great return into your life. Hey, if you've failed in love, go out and love again. If you've trusted someone and they broke your trust, hey, go out and trust again. If you've shared your faith with someone and, boy, you got flack for it, hey, no problem. Go out and share your faith again. Hey, if you taught Sunday school and it didn't work and the kids laughed at you, hey, no big deal. Go out and teach Sunday school again. Jesus said it this way, hey, I'm going to send you guys out. Not everybody's going to receive you. And if one house doesn't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and go to another house because they will receive you. Diversify, diversify. Pour into a lot of different things. Paul had failures. Not everything Paul touched worked out great. People hurt Paul. I did some reading this week just to remind myself, hey, Demas, he forsook Paul. Alexander the coppersmith, he forsook Paul. Demas left the ministry because he got all caught up with the riches of the world. And he said, man, I don't want to do ministry. I want to go to the riches of the world. Paul didn't say, well, I'm going to quit being an apostle. No, Paul just poured into others. He poured into John Mark. He poured into Timothy. He poured into Priscilla, into Aquila, and into Titus, and into Onesimus, and on and on and on I could go about all the lives Paul poured. That's a tongue twister. Paul poured into. He poured into a lot of people. And you know what? Not all of them bared fruit, but a lot of them did. He diversified. Diversify. Try new things. Be a friend to many. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Scatter what God has given you and watch Him do amazing things with it. As a review, consider the things that we've looked at. Look what he's saying. He's saying, hey, listen, take initiative, take risks, don't wait for perfect conditions, scatter your resources, don't wait until everything's perfect, hey, and diversify. And now I want to give you the last point of Ecclesiastes that we have in here. Let's jump in at verse 7. I'll give you the point before we read it. Here it is. Enjoy the life God has given you. Enjoy the life God has given you. Look what he says, verse 7. Truly, light is sweet, and it is pleasant to the eyes to behold the sun. You know what he's saying? He's saying, rejoice. Enjoy your days. Get out there and enjoy life. Now he's going to give some instruction on it. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, that's the subject at hand, enjoying your days. Yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many, and all that is coming is vanity. We read that, and here's probably what we think. Okay, as you're enjoying your days, remember there's also going to be hard days, days of darkness. That's not what it means. What it means when he says days of darkness right there, he's talking about death. Notice the verbs that come after it. For they will be many, future tense, and all that is coming is vanity. He's talking about death. He's saying, listen, as you live your life, remember this, that time is short. Enjoy your days. Look what he says. Remember, as you rejoice in all your days, remember this, that the days of darkness are coming. Death is coming. Enjoy your days. Life is short. Death will come to all people. Make the most of this life. That's what he's saying. You only get one shot at this. Live an incredible life. You only go around one time. Make it amazing. You only go on the merry-go-round one ride. Grab the brass ring. How many of you remember the brass rings? Yeah, only old people. Yeah, they don't do that anymore. But go for it is what he's saying. Turn a chapter back. Look at chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 9. Are you there? Chapter 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life. Hey, enjoy your marriage. Marriage is short. Life is short. Don't go through your life fighting with each other your whole life. Enjoy the wife of your youth. Love her, because life is short. When he says your vain life, he's saying it's going to be gone like that. Why then are you fighting? Look at verse 10. Whatever your heart finds to do, do it with all your might. Or in other words, be all in. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Life is short. Enjoy your marriage. Why are you fighting? Life is short. Enjoy your job. Why are you hating going to work? Life is short. Enjoy your kids. They'll only be 2 years old for 1 year. Enjoy it. It's a great thing. And go for it with all of your heart. Come back to chapter 11, verse 9. Let's pick up right where we left off. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Hey, who's the young man? All of us. Because he just talked about death. None of us are even close. Okay, some of us are close. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. Hey, what does your heart desire? Go for it, is what he's saying. Man, I want to be a professional basketball player. I was just talking with Don. His boys were out playing, college boys are out playing basketball at 11 o'clock last night. Loser has to jump in the ocean at 11 o'clock at night. I love it. That's what he's saying. Walk in the ways of your heart. Go for it. Enjoy it. Walk in the sight of your eyes. Enjoy the life he's given you. If you want something, go for it. Pursue it. But know this, know this. God will bring all these things into judgment. In other words, remember as you go through your day that a day is coming and you're going to have to give an account of your life. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told a parable, and there's this one word in the parable that just resonates in me. Here it is. Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. You and I, we're going to die. It's going to be a car wreck. It's going to be a heart attack. It's going to be, I don't know, life is a vapor. Solomon's telling us, it's vanity, vanity. It's short. It goes like that. And we are going to stand before God, and here's the words he's going to say to me. David, give an account of your stewardship. You can no longer be steward. What'd you do with all I gave you? Here's what Solomon's saying. Hey, life is amazing. It's meant to be amazing. Go drink it up. Go live it up. But know this. As you do, remember God. Remember God in all that you do. And God isn't to be an addendum to your life. He's to be the source of your life. He's saying, remember me because you're going to give an account. In all your pursuits, remember that you were created for God. Therefore, let God guide your pursuits. You want to be amazing in business? Great. Take God with you. Do it to the glory of God. Is that what God called you to be? Hey, go be all God called you to be. Remember, you're going to give an account. Let God guide your pursuits. Seek God's wisdom. Learn His ways and do life together with God. That's what you were created for. It's what you were created for. The exhortation he gives us, look what he says us. Hey, rejoice, O man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you all the days of your life. Walk in the ways of your heart. Whatever your heart wants, go for it. Whatever your eyes want, go after it. Know this, know this. The exhortation to enjoy life and to go for it does not endorse the reckless following of every carnal impulse. It doesn't. Here's why. Because joy is only possible within the moral boundaries established by God. And so Solomon is saying, listen, whatever your heart desires, go after it, but keep God in the equation. Keep God in the equation. We know in the world, we've seen this, there's people who are given over to sexual immorality, given over to drunkenness, given over to the pursuit of money or to different addictions. And one thing we know for sure, there's no joy in that life. There's no joy in it. And what Solomon is telling us is, hey, pursue life. Rejoice in all that God has given you. Use your gifts that God has given you to do glorious things. Pursue the desires of your heart. But remember, you will give an account of your stewardship. So be wise. And if you do, it will be the source of your wisdom. It will be the source of your success. One last verse I have for you, and we'll wrap up. We'll go eat lunch. Verse 13 of chapter 12. This is the conclusion that Solomon comes to. He wraps all this wisdom up in a thesis sentence, and here it is, chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Here's what he's saying. Hey, God gave you incredible gifts. God gave you incredible desires. God gave you an incredible universe to go live out this playground and do amazing things to His glory. And here's the key to having the most success and everything. Fear God and keep His commandments. That is your highest calling. If you do that, you will have wisdom as you build your career. As you do that, you will have wisdom as you go on dates. As you do that, you will have wisdom when you go start your company. And when you go disciple someone, when you go cast your bread on the waters, you will have wisdom that will guide you. It is your very best. You were created for God, and He has made this marvelous universe for you to experience, for you to enjoy, for you to make a difference in this world. Oh, take all that God has given you and live an extraordinary life to the glory of God. Amen.